Welcome to Equestrian Movement's Best Do No Harm podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boniface, co-founder of Equestrian Movement with Sarah Gallagher. We work with horse riders who want to build a stronger bond and a deeper connection with their horses. In our first Do No Harm podcast, we discuss with other industry professionals how to work with horses to firstly do no harm and secondly support their mental, emotional and physical well-being throughout the training process, so that we have horses that enjoy learning and ask to be ridden. Each episode, we discuss the different influences our training can have and how we can improve our horses' overall athleticism, soundness of mind and body, and emotional fortitude, while strengthening and deepening our relationship with our horses. Each week, I will endeavour to bring to you a new episode on horse riding, training, handling and husbandry, or an interview with other industry professionals to help you address where and why you might get stuck in creating the beautiful union of dancing souls that is the equestrian sport. Are you ready to kick off today's show? Let's get started. Hey team, Katie here from Equestrian Movement, and today we're going to talk about horses that don't like it when you mount. So I have a lot of experience with horses that don't want me to hop on them, and I'm going to share some of those experiences with you today. So we had this question come in from one of our YouTube students who had watched our consent to bridling and catching, I think, YouTube trainings. Actually, don't really know what's on the YouTube channel anymore. So if you want any videos, just feel free to reach out and send us a message and I can put it together for you. But she was asking us, I think it was saddling actually. She was asking us if we had a training on the mounting process and how to get the horses to stand still for us to hop on. And one of the things that was a very big learning curve for me is that mounting is not one step. You're on the ground and then you're on the horse. There is a good 5 or 6 steps there where you have the opportunity to catch if your horse is going to create a problem for you for mounting them, and where you can refine your technique so that your horse more willingly accepts you onto their back. But to get into that, let's start with why. So inevitably within our training careers, I find, as especially like trainers and breakers, but then also as coaches, we will get stuck on a problem and we will have that problem come in until we learn how to solve it or we quit, basically. So I had a horse on training that absolutely terrified me. It was right in the beginning of my training and breaking career, and he was very big. He was 16.3 warm blood, very powerful, and it was the most horse I'd ever played with. So I wasn't scared of him to begin with, and I quite confidently rode him, but there was a situation that happened where I would be mounting him, and before I had swung my leg over to the other side, so I had one foot in the stirrup and one leg on the way over, mounting from the ground, because growing up as a pony club rider, you had to mount from the ground, and I got drilled into me that you had to be facing the tail, you had to put your foot in the stirrup and swing around, and it had to be in one fluid action, and it absolutely ruined my mounting technique, but we'll go into that in a second. So mounting him from the ground, very tall horse, so it wouldn't have been graceful and it wouldn't have been comfortable to him at all, and he would start bronking before I even had my foot in the other stirrup. He threw me twice the height of our arena wall, and I came down and I hit my tailbone and I couldn't walk for 3 months. So that was the beginning of my unraveling of how to do a good mounting process, because I was right at the beginning of my training and breaking career, and now I was scared to hop on unknown horses, and now I had this mounting problem. So there's multiple factors at play here. One in particular was a terrible mounting technique I had been taught as a child. I did a lot of showing, competing in shows as a child, and I had in particular a show judge who all of my lessons with her. I have very vivid memories of just like spending the whole lesson crying with like snot running down my face, tears running down my face. She just really knew how to drill me and get me to that point of crying and still being able to ride through the crying and the devastation of how I felt. And she was the one in particular who drilled this mounting technique into me, because if I were to go and compete in the pony club classes and they ask you to mount from the ground, you had to do it this specific way. Those of you who had to do it would remember it. Those of you who don't, you have to have your you have to be facing the tail with your left hand holding the reins in the mane, left foot goes into the stirrup, and you stand up and you swing over and you're in the saddle. And it's supposed to be incredibly graceful and fluid to watch, and I never mastered it. My version was like face with everything starting the way it's supposed to, and then hop, 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 hop until I'm facing the head again, and then jump up and swing my leg over. So I think that that was one contributing factor to this bronking episode, because what I noticed after a period of time working with this horse, because he was bigger and my legs were short, what was happening as I was hopping was I was actually dragging my toe across his rib cage, like digging my toe in and dragging it across the rib cage as I was hopping to the front. So I didn't have any like body awareness that this was happening. I'd hopped on plenty of horses doing this without any problems, but I think the height and the size of his barrel meant that now I was dragging my toe across his rib cage as well. So second to that, being such a tall horse, I really was heaving myself up onto his back. If any of you have watched that video where the guy mounts without a girth, you'll see why it's really important to have a really good mounting technique where you're not twisting the back on the saddle on the back of the horse. The twist of the saddle does so much damage to the back of the horse, and it also pulls on their ribs and on their body where the girth is, and so that in itself can create a lot of resistance around you know, the horse allowing you onto their back as well. You really want a very smooth, quick mounting technique where you're not stabbing your toe into their belly, you're not kicking them on the butt on the way over, and you're sitting gently onto their back when you do sit down. We're really wanting to pay attention to and have particular consideration for these experiences that the horses have with us, especially if we're trying to fix problems, because normally if we're trying to fix a problem, it's because the horse is saying no. And so by the time they're saying no to things under saddle, they're going to start throwing us on the ground if we're not paying attention to these more subtle cues. So the other thing would have been how much I was heaving myself onto his back, but then also with further investigation, find out that he has kissing spine. So the three of those things combined just would have resulted in an incredible pain reaction from him, where he explosively leaps into the ground, into the sky, into the air, whatever that word is, and he explosively leaps into the air, bucking and carrying on. And I didn't even have both feet in the stirrups at that time, and so it means that before I was able to even get into the saddle, I was getting bucked off. So with the investigation of the kissing spine, finding that he did get retired, so the mounting problem with him never truly got resolved. But it did, what ended up inevitably happening was then I ended up getting a good three or four horses with mounting issues in on training that I had to solve. And so now I have this fear of getting bucked off and injured when I'm mounting, not like even safe enough to get into the saddle. But what it does when you have that fear is it also brings awareness to the subtle cues. So I started to notice, you know, the slight amounts of bracing and tension that the horses were holding as I was preparing them for being ridden, because I was scared. nothing like being terrified of dying to make you pay attention to what your horse is doing. So there's multiple steps to actually being on the horse. Standing with relaxation is the foundation of everything that we do. If your horse doesn't want you in their bubble on the ground, you don't want to be in their bubble on their back, because it just is, you know, one bad move where that's going to have you in the ground instead of on the saddle. So why your horse can't stand with relaxation in your presence is, you know, its own task to unravel. There's plenty of reasons why the horses don't want us in their space. It can be the result of previous experiences, previous handling. It can be pain that has gone unaddressed. There's, you know, it does create its own problem solving and digging process that's required. But if we can have stand with relaxation on the ground, then, and we can like enter the horse's personal space without them trying to bite or kick us, then we are getting consent and permission from the horse to be within their bubble, that they feel safe for us to touch them and they feel safe for us to be in their space. I want that before I have anything else. The other thing that I do is all of our mounting is done from a mounting block, and I know that there's a lot to be said about that, because if you're out on a trail, you still need to be able to get up from the ground and different things like that. But our horses have lots of different people on them all the time, and sometimes up to 2 to 3 people a day, depending on the lessons that we're doing. And so I'm not risking the saddle twisting on their back 3 times a day, up to 3 times a day, you know, daily, by people who don't have the body control, strength, and awareness to keep the saddle centered as they mount. And same for me with my horses. I prefer to be on a block, not twisting the saddle on their back, than being on the ground and risking that twist, or, you know, the discomfort of how the saddle's going to move when you're trying to pull yourself up from the ground. So definitely, you know, invest in your own skills with developing a good mounting technique where you're, you know, trying not to be a burden to the horse with how you mount, and that you've got a nice clean stand into the saddle that, you know, keeps close contact, where you're not twisting the saddle around, and you can make one nice smooth action without kicking the horse on the booty on the way over, and that you can sit gently into the saddle, because that is foundational to the horse actually wanting you to mount them in the first place. And then, you know, if we've ruled out all of our other pain-related issues with regards to work, it's really, you know, finish on a positive note, feeling like you could have done more. How are you going to get that task achievement for the horse within the exercises? Focus on using the ridden session as being of benefit to the horse, where they can enjoy moving and enjoy riding, and not getting caught up in your own drilling of, like, achieving perfection and getting the behaviors, and, you know, expecting the horse to feel a certain way or be as good as it was the day before. Different things like that, that's going to make the actual training process turn the horse sour, so they don't want to be ridden at all. And cross training helps, like keeping it fresh by hacking out sometimes, doing some poles and grids, trying not to drill into your arena moves you know, too hard, that they're not going to want to work in the arena anymore. So with the actual mounting process itself, you can see places where the horse is going to start holding tension before you're in the saddle, so that you know that, you know, that final swing of the leg sitting onto the horse's back, the horse isn't going to explode underneath you. And this was my learning curve. So the first step, you know, all of our horses know the mounting block. So we're going to hop on if the mounting block is beside them. They start fidgeting around when the mounting block is put beside them, then we know that they're not going to stand with relaxation to hop on. So we're breaking it down into chunks. Chunk one is stand with relaxation. Chunk two, stand with relaxation beside the mounting block. Chunk 3 is stand with relaxation beside the mounting block while we are standing on the mounting block. So for some horses, just even that change in the height where we were shorter than them and now we're taller than them is enough for them to start holding tension and brace and be a bit more fearful. Step 3 is putting one foot in the stirrup. So you're not even putting your weight into the stirrup. You're just putting your foot in the stirrup and you're taking your foot out of the stirrup. How does the horse change just for the foot going into the stirrup? I don't even know what chunk we're up to now. I think maybe 5. 5, the next one, we're going to stand into the stirrup, but we're going to hold ourselves really close to the horse's body so that we're not twisting the saddle and creating pain from us standing off the side of them. They might brace a little bit for this purely because they're having to brace so that they don't fall over. And we're going to be able to just jump off if that actual like brace of holding our weight or having to support our weight is going to trigger anything with them. And at that point, you know, we might be looking at underlying pain-related issues to do with their back if they're reactive there, or, you know, a bad experience with the actual mounting process previously. And it's not until, you know, I can stand, get the horse to stand with relaxation while I've got my foot in one stirrup and I'm lying over their back, that I'm going to fully commit to swinging the other leg over and then sitting down gently, because it's at that moment, like, that you put your foot in the other stirrup that you are fully committed to whatever the horse is about to do next. So I want to make sure that they've got relaxation and that they know how to stop before I get there, which is why we also incorporate all of our other skills of our holistic horse handling, with being able to read our horse's body language, communicate effectively, and do our in-hand work to make sure that that communication is clear before we hop in the saddle. But when it comes to the actual mounting process, I want the horse to be able to lower and relax before I commit that second leg over their back, and now I'm on their back. So this is a process that can take time. If a horse has an aversion to being mounted in the first place, like, you definitely need to be checking into pain-related issues, especially with their back, you know, sacro and withers are in particularly common areas to be triggered with the mounting process. And then also with our baby horses for the first time, quite often mounting them, it can really be like, if we're building relaxation into the process, it can really be a matter of, oh, you were on the ground and now you're on my back. That's like not anything to me. So the mount itself can be no drama to them. But if they're holding a little bit of brace and tension there, and then we ask them to walk and they haven't let go of it, that then can create its own explosive response where they don't know how to carry us and how to move and balance us when we're moving around on top of them. Their whole center of gravity has changed. They now need to learn how to move and carry us at the same time, without the fear of losing their balance and falling over. So that part is the challenge for the horse, and why we want to instill into their training, if you're unsure, stop and relax. If you don't know the answer, stop and relax. If you feel uncomfortable, stop and relax. If, you know, there's anything that makes you hesitate or unsure or confused or distressed in any way, you're going to choose stop with relaxation first, so that then, like, as the rider, I can troubleshoot that with you. Because otherwise the other option is that they just go into a blind panic and can't control themselves anymore. A horse that can't control its emotions can't control its behaviors, and so that's where we're going to see that catastrophic behavior. And it's a lot easier to just not let the horse have that as a choice than it is to try and fix that as a problem once it started. So by the time the horse is, you know, doing what that horse was doing originally, where they're bronking before you even get your foot over the other side, like, it, kissing spine aside, if that had been trained into him, it's very hard to fix that problem from there. And then it also is a behavior that they then have access to later on down the track if they're having a problem with mounting again. So with all of these things, we're taking a bit more time to consolidate the horse's confidence and understanding and trust in the process. But what that does do is it does save us time down the track, and it does also make for safer horses. So one of the biggest lessons that I've learned as a trainer to improve my overall work with the horses is relaxation is a must. Being able to read the horses' felt sense of safety, their ability to relax and feel safe, and to invite them into that safe zone. And breaking down our lesson plans, our shaping plans, into the smallest chunks that we have available to us, so that we can reward even the smallest yes of an effort, gets us so much further, so much quicker in the long run than just rushing these processes in the beginning. Trainers don't have the luxury of this kind of time because the owners that are sending the horses to the trainers want to see the results. They're paying the money, and paying the money for an extended period of time is uncomfortable to them. So horses tend to get rushed through these processes without their emotional response to the process being acknowledged or supported, because there's no time for that. But being able to engage the horse in conversation and say, hey, do you still feel safe? Hey, are you still relaxed? Through the whole process allows for you as the rider to be a lot safer, because you're going to be able to stop and troubleshoot a problem before the problem results in you eating dirt. That's it from me for today. Until next week, happy trails. If you're starting to realize that escalating pressure and having pressure release is the only tool in your toolkit inevitably results in conflict and manhandling your 500 kilo plus fur baby, you have to check out our free masterclass, Say Yes to a Happy Willing Horse. There is an art and a science to everything we do with our horses. The science is the undeniable behavioral training and manipulation of the internal chemistry, neurotransmitters, and hormones. Hello, dopamine! The art is in the connection and the relationship. How your horse behaves is a reflection of who they are in relationship to you, how they receive your instruction, and how safe you make them feel to follow your lead. And if you didn't want that, ride a motorbike. We know that our horses are emotive, intelligent, sentient beings that are aware of the manipulative, coercive, and sometimes abusive tactics used to force them to cooperate. And we can seek a better way. The foundations of holistic horse handling are nervous system regulation, compassionate leadership, communication, and emotional agility. These elements are critical to have a handle on before going to work with your horse, so that we can develop the psychological safety for the horse to communicate how the training can be of benefit to them. Our training should be happening for them, not to them. If we want a horse that we can have trust and confidence in, and that seeks to look after us first, we need to create an environment where learning is fun, movement feels good, and our horses ask to be ridden. This sounds impossible to you, know that it's not. It's a reality hundreds of our students have achieved. It just requires coming home and a relearning of what we lost due to peers, coaches, trainers, and other influences teaching us that that kind of softness and kindness creates unsafe horses. In truth, it is the opposite. To create safe, willing horses, we first need to create a felt sense of safety and a felt sense of belonging. We need to be strategic and intentional how we set the horse up for success, so as not to overface ourselves and our horses, and we need to create experiences where we build trust and confidence in each other. If you're ready for your horsemanship and horse riding to look like this, take the first step, click on the link in the show notes, and join us in our free masterclass, Say Yes to a Happy Willing Horse. Or you can find it over on our website at www.equestrianmovement.com/sayyes. Until next week, happy trails.